So welcome, me, Andy Ojeda Durancourt. Got to introduce myself. I am very fortunate to have, I'm going to say Freddie Grattan, but Jack David Frederick Grattan. But correct. I assume Freddie's a, why is it Freddie?
So we have a long-standing, somewhat annoying family tradition, which involves kind of your dad's name, your grandpa's name, and then your name.
Jack's your dad.
David's my grandpa, and then obviously I'm Frederick.
Okay.
Which is a, honestly, it's really annoying, as you can imagine, starting school, starting university, when everyone just assumes your name's Jack. So can be a little bit of a pain, but yeah, that's the name.
So Freddie, and you are Fred or Freddie? Yeah,
Fred, Freddie, whatever. I've known you as Freddie. Yeah, I've been called worse, so either is fine.
We've been called a lot worse. So where did it all begin? October 18th. 97, you're a young man.
Yeah.
Are you, hang on, Zach, you're not millennial, are you? I don't know what the one...
I think I'm Gen Z.
Gen Z.
I think I'm classed as a Gen Z.
You're yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so just about okay.
Just about
a few
okay.
Years out.
Live in London?
Live in London, yeah. So was born in Wandsworth. So lived in Wandsworth most of my life. Went to boarding school, fairly near here actually.
Charterhouse. Know them well. One.
Do you? Yeah. Yeah,
played hockey against them when I was okay. At school. You remember Hurstbury Point College?
Yes,
that's where I went. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So in our when I was there, I was captain of hockey, and we had our undefeated season. We won 3-0 at Charterhouse.
Wow.
On the grass.
I remember the Hurstbury Point pitch as well. Very windy.
Yeah.
Very
the Astro one. The Astro one. By the entrance as you come in.
That's the one. Yeah.
You played as well.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I was a goalkeeper, so I'd never played hockey before, but decided to go in goal because I'd never played and I quite like the outfit. And then by the end I was first team. So, you know, I was like playing in these really competitive matches and I was like, I'm so out of my depth here. But yeah, that was...
No fear, because you've got to be a bit nutty to be a,
yeah, well,
to be a football goalkeeper anyway, but it's,
yeah,
in hockey.
It was terrifying. Up, but. I mean, you're padded up, but you like some of the people we would play against would be, you know, proper hockey players.
Yeah.
And I would just be thinking, like, as long as I don't get hurt here, I'm happy. Honestly, it is scary.
Charterhouse is a lovely school, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It's a nice location, isn't it?
It's a great
just
school.
Just outside Godalming, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. Just outside Godalming. I mean, I was speaking to my housemate the other day, actually. He was being like, what is boarding school like? And I said, just, you know, you're with all your best mates. You're playing sport all day. Like, it's brilliant.
Did really you think fun. That at the time? Because like me, I went to boarding school and everyone said, what was that like? Away from your family and your parents? Because I was a boarder.
Yeah.
And I said, looking back, it's the best time of my life. You know, because it was exactly that, especially you're all sporty, I assume. Yeah. And it's like, come on.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you never really think about the other side of it when you're there. Like, you know, you're away from your parents, that kind of thing. And obviously you miss them, but you know, you're with all
not
your
a
best.
Lot.
No,
only at night, isn't it? Really good to sleep.
You're with all your best mates. You're playing sport the whole time. It was really, really good fun.
Yeah. So Charterhouse, and then what? Uni?
And then, uni up in Newcastle, which was good fun, as you can imagine.
Yeah, it's a mad place. My stepdaughter's in Newcastle.
Uni, yeah. Right? Yeah, it's a brilliant place. Been up a few times since leaving, and you know, every time I go, I'm like, what a place this is. It's great. Because it's small enough that you can kind of walk everywhere, but big enough that there's, you know, 5 different nightclubs open on a Monday night. So, yeah, great place. Did marketing and management there. Then COVID hit. So COVID was my last year of uni, which was not ideal. You know, I remember the first time I heard about it. I was walking back from a lecture with 2 mates and, you know, there was like these videos going around of people kind of collapsing in China and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then actually I think the first person to contract COVID who came back into the UK was held in the Newcastle hospital.
Oh, really?
So I remember everyone was then suddenly petrified
and panic, wasn't there?
And everyone thought this thing was kind of, you know, the next Black Death and that kind of thing. So I remember real panic. I remember everyone just trying to get on the trains, drive, like get out of there. That was, you know, a bit of a pain, obviously, doing like your finals and stuff over at home. And
were you doing that from London? Were you like these guys? Like,
yeah. So mainly in London, my dad's, well, fairly close to around here. He's in kind of West Sussex. So I spent a bit of time down there as well. Obviously, you know, the job market post COVID was tough. Eventually started working at Sainsbury's in the marketing team, was there for about a year or so, and then pickleball came along, really.
Let's jump straight in. So how did that? Because obviously now you are
the UK pickable shop,
not to be confused with other retailers. So how did that all come about? So it wasn't a vision of yours. It wasn't a plan.
So I'd been playing pickleball for a while during COVID, really. So our neighbor spent a lot of time out in the States. He came back and was like, you've got to play this sport. It's brilliant. You know, once you pick it up, you won't put it down. So we started playing initially just kind of in the garden. And then
family.
Dad, my sister plays, right. My stepmom plays. A lot of people in kind of the village and locally play. So we were just kind of playing together. In terms of the shop, we were looking to buy equipment. We called the UK Pickable Shop, got speaking to the old owners, Mike and Jane. And they were kind of looking to retire and sell the business. And then I've always been entrepreneur. I've always loved sports. So I thought this is just like amazing.
Was that a light bulb moment?
Completely, yeah. So I started doing it, well, initially part-time, and then very quickly realized if I want to kind of, you know, make the most of this opportunity, this growing market. So I left Sainsbury's and, you know, the rest is history.
You should meet Simon Squibb, innit? Do you have a dream? And you go, yep.
Simon Squibb, yeah. I'm a big fan of his. Watch a little more of
stuff. He's great, isn't he?
Yeah.
So... So that was back in 2023?
That was
2022?
Just over 2 years ago. I left Sainsbury actually in March 2 years ago. So yeah, just over 2 years.
So it was already a sports retailer?
Yeah, so the UK Pickable Shop has been running for 8 years now. So, you know, we've been a part of it for about 2.5 years. But, you know, I think... one of the reasons we wanted to do it is because of how kind of established they were and how respected they were in the community.
Sport hadn't long been, if that's only 8 years.
I mean, yeah, I think.
I mean, they must have been there right at the start.
They were there right at the start. I mean, you know, they knew Karen, they knew Frank. They obviously had a very good relationship with Lou as well. So they, well, what is now London Pickleball, I think they had.
Lou Stevens,
yeah. So
love
they had a
lover. I love seeing.
They had a club before called called Slap Pickleball.
Yep.
Which I'm not actually sure what stands for, but I know what they used to call it.
Yeah.
Which is,
I think it's something to do South London something, isn't it?
I think that's it. Sorry, South London area pickleball.
Yeah.
But it was known slap. As some lesbians and policewomen.
I remember Lou. We didn't really ever delve into that when she was on, but yeah, I can imagine it.
Yeah, so I think that was London Pickleball, which is, you know, some amazing club, 600 odd players now, I think. So yeah. They were there right
led
at the
by
beginning.
A dictatorship.
Yeah,
apparently it works really well.
It does work,
and Lou will be honest about it as well.
Completely,
it's my way or the highway, and it
completely
seems to work.
It completely works, and you know, I think
it's lovely.
When you've got that many people, you have to be like that. So yeah. You know, Lou particularly does an amazing job there. So it's a really great club.
There's a team of them in there. There's a few of them that work together.
Yeah, and you know, they again
Gillian
like
and a few others,
like
there?
So many people in pickleball, they, you know, they put so much effort in, they do such a fantastic job.
Well, they want it to grow, don't they? I know Lou was involved with the Franklin Pickleball Club, which has sort of gone on hold at the moment because they didn't get the planning, didn't they? And she started Seppel with Andre.
Yeah.
So yeah, she never seems to be out of it with doing something. Isn't
yeah,
she?
And I mean, I'm not surprised. You know, I would want Lou on my side.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know she's certainly. Yeah. So for you, so that's. You just sort of that connection, the love of the sport.
Yeah,
just sort
exactly.
of trying to buy and, some know, kit, and you went.
Yeah,
they're not doing this very well, or did you?
Well,
think?
I think, you know, and I'm sure Mike and Jane wouldn't mind me saying this. I think from a kind of tech website marketing point of view, they weren't doing the best job. Like, you know, they did an amazing job in kind of establishing themselves, forming relationships with both the community and the brands.
Yeah,
but in terms of, you know, websites marketing, that side of things, I think there was a little bit of work to be done. And, you know, obviously with that being my background, I saw a really big opportunity there. Wow. So that was kind of, you know, the start of it really. And I mean, it's...
Just dived in, I think.
Just dived in, yeah. And, you know, didn't really know what to expect.
How does that conversation go? Would you like to sell the business to me? Is it simple as that?
It's a little bit more complex than that, but something along those lines.
I'd like to take it a bit further.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, well, I hope they quite like me and saw, you know, someone young who's passionate and loves the sport is a kind of a good direction to go in. So that was it.
And is it, it's an online business?
Yeah, so we're almost entirely online. We do events and festivals. Obviously, we're very happy to partner with Pickleball England. So we do the Open, the Nationals, a lot of other events. We've actually got one on this Saturday up in Watford. Also looking at brick and mortar. The Franklin Pickleball Club that you mentioned, we were going to be running the Franklin shop there. And, you know, I think there's a lot of exciting opportunities coming up this year beyond in terms of centres opening and that kind of thing and having a physical retail space within
I'm
those.
I'm aware of about six of them.
There's
some in the pipeline.
There's a lot of them popping up. And
there's two I know that are open, obviously, the one down in Muddiford, the little one.
Yeah,
and then
Telford.
Telford, isn't it? But there's Hop is looking there, and I know of another another. There's a few people looking in London and...
Yeah, I mean, I think
still trying to push something, but
yeah, I mean, I think, you know, on a wider level, if I look at my kind of experience with Impickable, 2 years ago when I, well, just over 2 years ago when I started doing this, very few people had actually heard of it.
I know.
So the last 2 years has almost been getting the name out there. Now nearly everyone I speak to has heard of it.
The sport,
that
is. Yeah, no.
And I think, you know, the next 2 years in terms of centres, in terms of, you know, now governing body status, is really going to be when everyone starts playing it, and that's when it's really going to really kick off, I think.
And where do you sort of feel about paddle? Because obviously a lot of these centres, I know a lot of them, to make it commercially viable, they feel that they have to combine the two. And I know there's a few, they've all got a little bit, I don't think Telford has, but I know the one in Muddiford's got two paddle courts.
Well,
is that an area have you thought of retailing in, or
are
you just staying purely?
No, we're definitely staying in Pickleball. I mean, paddles, it's an interesting case. I mean, the problem with paddle, in my opinion, is just the cost of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm in London, obviously, there's absolutely loads of paddle courts, and, you know, I played it, it's good fun. There's no problems with that. It relies on so much private investment that at some point that will run thin. If you look at the majority of places across the UK, they haven't got £60,000 to build a paddle court, but they will have a sports hall, badminton court, space which they can use, where then they just need to kind of buy a net, buy a few panels, and they can get playing.
Exactly.
So I think longer term, and in the majority of cases, pickleball is a better option. Yeah. And personally confident that pickleball will eventually overtake paddle.
Yeah, because there seems to be this feeling that the window of opportunity for paddle is about the next 2 or 3 years and then it will be saturated. But I've got a few, like, I feel it's a little bit like tennis. I still think tennis is a little bit elite. Is it?
Yeah.
It's not accessible to everyone. And
yeah,
I was chatting to some chap. He said he went and played and it was £120 an hour for a paddle court in London.
Yeah. So,
Paddle Hub are opening up around here.
Yeah.
And I think £40 an hour, you know, and it's not like,
it's,
if you want to play regularly, that's a lot of money to spend, isn't it?
You're right. You know, it absolutely is an elite sport. I mean, I had an e-commerce forum in Canary Wharf last week.
Oh, very nice.
And there's courts there. And I think they're £140 an hour. And obviously, you know,
they're aimed at the bankers and the stockbrokers, aren't they?
Yeah. Steps right out of Citibank and go and do it. It's nothing to them. But, you know, that's not sustainable. It's interesting as well. So speaking to, well, a lot of the American brands, a few of the Australian brands as well, they don't have paddle at all.
No.
It basically doesn't exist in America. It doesn't exist really in Australia at all. It's obviously, well, I think it rooted in South America and then obviously spread to kind of Spain and Portugal. Yeah. We'll see what happens, but I think once that kind of private investment runs out, looked back on as a bit of a trend, really.
Yeah, because then we'll end up with loads of paddle courts that aren't going to be used.
Well, that is an issue. And I think when people are putting that private investment in, obviously they think, you know, 40% capacity, we kind of make a return. It's like, well, that's assuming the sport keeps its popularity.
Yeah.
Because then if the courts aren't used, what you've got, £30,000 worth of perspex, which is not a lot you can do with.
No. And at least with a paddle court, technically you could turn around and people say, well, I'll come and stick a badminton net back on.
Yeah,
it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, if a pickleball investment opportunity did go wrong, I think like your exit is a lot easier than paddle for sure.
And has the shop thought about a venue of its own, maybe?
Yeah, it's at, it's something we've definitely thought about, and we've looked quite a bit into. I mean, the problem with any of these things is firstly kind of resource, not only financially, but also in, like, in terms of time. It's, well, I'm sure if you speak to anyone who's kind of looking at these things at the moment, it's very full on.
Yeah, I'm talking to people about it. I know it's hard.
It's really hard. And, you know, whether or not we have the resource to try and provide the best service that we can, as well as doing that kind of thing, we're not sure. I mean, for the moment, it's a no. But obviously, you know, there's ways around it in terms of having a kind of retail outlet within those places, or, you know, looking at sponsoring them perhaps. But I think for now, in terms of having our own centre, that's a little bit further down the pipeline. But that is the dream, to have, you know, the UK pickleball shop, pickleball centre.
Yeah.
In kind of 5-10 years, that's, I'd love to be there.
I think there'll be a few around by then.
Hopefully.
I think there'll be a few around by the end of the year. I mean, I know there's a lot of interest. And it's not just in it. And I know there's investment out there. There's people looking to put money into it, isn't it? It's a tricky one, because I think there's a lot of issues with landlords as well, because you're looking at industrial estate. Because we don't have the weather of California or Florida, do we?
And I mean, it's a long, drawn-out process. But I think things can happen very quickly, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel, and hopefully in the next year or so, there will definitely be a few centres around the UK.
We'll have a chat in a year. We'll see where we're at.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if that's a Man United fan. How did that come about? Come on.
So, I'm going to be honest
There are more Man United fans in the South than there are in Manchester.
They do say that. Yeah, well, there's the running joke, isn't there, about them all getting the train back after they've played away at Chelsea or something. Sorry, up in Manchester.
Yeah, that's right. Back to London.
Exactly, yeah. So, I often say that I have family in Manchester, and I have said that through the majority of my life. That's not strictly true.
I was going to say, who are they? Do you know?
We've got long lost
cousins. Yeah?
So my family are all from, well, it's more kind of Yorkshire, Leeds area, Dad's Lake District. So no real Manchester. I mean, the truth is, when I was a young kid, my best mate at the time was a big Man U fan. My dad, although he would now claim to be a big football fan, was never really into football. So he started supporting Man U, and I think it was Eric Cantona that said, you can change your wife, you can change your politics, but you can never change your football team.
That is very, very true. So you just became a Man United fan. You said Dad's an Evertonian.
Dad's an Evertonian, yeah.
There are a lot of teams in Yorkshire, but they're nowhere near Everton. I mean, like, you know, being a Yorkshireman, that's nowhere near Everton, is it?
No, so he's Lake District, Dad's side. So, yeah, Mum's Yorkshire, but again, she was never really into football. And, yeah, as I said, neither was my dad. He would claim to be now, but I think if you asked him to name two Everton players, you would quickly realise he's not as big a fan as he claims.
And you've got brothers and sisters?
I've got three sisters. Well, a sister and two half-sisters.
Are they into football? Do they support?
No, they're not particularly interested. My younger sister actually is very into her sport. She was a very good cricketer, plays a lot of pickleball now. So me and her actually played together at the Nationals last year in mixed doubles.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, which is good fun. She's into golf as well. So she's very into sport. The other two, not so much.
So where do you play then? Where's your home club? Is it London Pickleball then? Or
London Pickleball, I always say, every kind of, you know, board meeting or anything we have, I always say I need kind of more time to play. I'm a sporadic player is how I describe myself. I've played a little bit at London Pickleball. There's a place near me in Wandsworth called the Paddle Yard, which is a paddle place, but they do have a pickleball court. So I play there a bit with friends. Also down at my dad's, there's I think there's 6 courts in our village. So I think, unless anyone can dispute this, we're sure that there's the most courts in a village in the UK in Liphook. So we play around there really, just mainly with kind of friends and family. There's an indoor one, mainly outdoor. We play a lot as a family, play with kind of local friends.
You're not necessarily affiliated to a proper club, you know.
Fleet as
Aces.
I said,
where's my club? I don't think I've got it up, but Fleet Aces.
As I said, I always want to play more. But I think obviously where I'm, like, geographically where I'm based, there's a place in West Kensington actually, which is very close to me, which is, I played there once, really nice place. But I mean, London Pickleball, I would love to play more there. But yeah.
But even they don't have many venues. I mean,
they don't have, no, they don't.
Is it the one school they play at, isn't
it? It's the one school, yeah. I mean, it's a good, it's a great setup.
With all the members they've got, it's amazing that they can cater for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, I think hopefully that's why, you know, that's the Franklin Pickleball Club will not only benefit London Pickleball as a club, as, you know, that area of London as a whole. Because, you know, if that open, I mean, for example, I would play there a lot. I know a lot of...
But it was only going to be about 6 or 7 courts, wasn't it? Or 8?
I think it was 8.
8, yeah.
I think it was 8. But I think there's potential, and again, I would have to check the planning. I think it could have been 12.
Right.
For a tournament, obviously, they would like have an almost a centre court, and it would be 8.
Did you go to the pop-up?
I did, yeah.
That was really good, wasn't it?
It was brilliant.
We had Johanna Konter and Greg Rosetsky. Yeah. It was really good, wasn't it?
It was brilliant, yeah. And I think it's, well, great
he,
to see.
He played the fool very well, didn't he, Greg?
He did, yeah. He's a good entertainer, was old Greg, yeah. But I mean, like the standards and like the hands on those guys is crazy. Like,
you can see why they're elite. But you can see the tennis players who come into the game, isn't it?
Completely, yeah. I mean, there seems to be more and more tennis players kind of come into pickleball. Yeah. I mean, I played at the Open this year, and I played with Harvey from Diadem.
Yeah.
And we did all right. So we got through our group. We were playing 3.0. We got through our group.
18 plus, yeah. 3.0.
And we came up against these two young guys who were tennis coaches.
Okay.
And they'd supposedly never played pickleball. And they absolutely destroyed us. I think we lost 11-1. And they were just
that's
like...
soul destroying, isn't it? Oh, you weren't pickled destroyed. Though, were you? You weren't pickled.
Not quite. I mean, we may as well have been. And not like just the standard and the hands. And like you'd think they would obviously have the drives.
Yeah.
But like straight away, third shot drops, like they just got it in every time. And we were like, these guys are just too good. And we were like, what are you
You've watched James play, James Chandler.
Yeah.
I mean you can see his background, and you can see his when he plays his placement.
Yeah.
Certainly in singles. I mean, it's just...
Yeah. It was same with Molly. I mean, like, you know, her placement, her power.
Which Molly?
Molly Nags.
There's two Mollies now.
I know. Yeah, Molly Nags. I mean, she's, the old tennis players, you can see that kind of tennis background.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously good.
Yeah, she hits the ball really hard, doesn't she?
She absolutely
They all do. That's the thing. Games, I don't know about you, I think singles is more like tennis when on a pickleball court, isn't it? Whereas doubles is a little bit more...
Definitely.
A little bit more intricate, a little bit more subtle sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can see from kind of obviously like James as an ex-tennis player, him in singles is just like a different animal. But then someone like Louis who, I think his sporting background's a bit of everything. Really, like his hands in doubles amazing.
I've had Louis on a couple of times. I just love chatting to Louis. But I've watched him in the stream one of them and he just stood there like this and then he's not involved and then suddenly the ball comes and it's gone.
Yeah.
And you watch him do his practice on the squash court, don't you? He's got really quick hands.
Seriously impressive,
You know, but the thing about that is we can all do that though, because the other good thing about doing that's really good for your cognitive mind because it helps you your the sort of coordination and stuff. That's what I love about this sport is that it's not limited to age, it's not limited to size, creed or anything. You know, it's open. It's, you know, who was I talking to? I think I was talking to a guy. Oh, it was Frank last couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And Frank was saying, who'd have thought at the age of 65 I'd have taken up a new sport? And that's great. And I said, Frank, look, I've got a target. I want to be a centurion and win a gold medal at the Open, okay? And that's what I'm aiming for. Yeah, if I can get a gold medal before, got a bronze at the Open, so it's all right so far. But no, but that's the thing, isn't it? And it's like, because it's categorised as well, and you know, you can have, you know, disabled people playing. I mean, you've got the wheelchair guys, which is great. And then you've got adaptive pickleball. Have you heard of the adaptive pickleball? So you wear an armband.
Yeah.
And there's adaptive rules. So if you've got a sort of a disability of sort, maybe you've got Parkinson's or something.
Yeah.
If you wear that when you're playing with able-bodied people, they know that you get 2 bounces.
Okay.
So it sort of, again, identifies that, you know, the fairness makes it even and evens it up a bit. Got James Townsend and Julie, you know, the deaf pickleball. I mean, that is growing massively. It's fantastic,
it is,
isn't
it? Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of the sport. I mean, everyone in the community, I've always said it's the only sport I can think of where you could take 4 people from almost any walk of life, put them on a court together, and within 5 minutes, they'll be having a good rally. And you can't do that in any other sport.
No. And it takes you out of yourself as well, doesn't it? I don't think whatever stresses you've got, or day you've had,
yeah.
you you won't be thinking about outside.
No.
Because you have to be focused, because if not, you're going to get hit. Or
completely.
It's a chess match as well, yeah.
I mean, even, you know, at like the Open and Nationals, obviously we're retailing, we're there selling.
Yeah.
And I find as soon as I step on and play, completely forget about it.
No, I saw you and Harvey. You looked like you had a great time at the Open.
We had a great time, yeah.
And what other sport where you get, you know, competitors in the retail business working
absolutely,
together?
Yeah.
You know, Lloyd, you, all of you.
That's the beauty of it. Yeah.
So I find, like, you know, we joke about all these different paddles and everyone, but everyone seems to want to do the best for pickleball.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like no one's closing up. I know business is business and we're all in here to make, you're all in here to make a profit. You know, yeah. That's what you're here for. But I think everyone's very supportive.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, I remember the first festival that we did, so this would have been about 2 years ago, was up in Hertfordshire.
And that was one of Steve's?
Or I before don't think Steve it was at the time. It's Christine, the Dutch lady, very nice Dutch lady. So it's her and a few others, and David and Pam Stotten as well. So they run up in Hertfordshire. And obviously, you know, Mike and Jane, the previous owners, very much kind of established themselves in the community. Everyone kind of knew who they were. So I remember this was the first festival that I did. And I remember being, at the time, you know, really nervous, thinking like, this is a whole new world that I'm completely throwing myself into. And everyone is just so hospitable, so lovely. And, you know, straight away, you just like feel like you're a part of the community, which is a lovely thing to have.
No, you know, you've got U3A groups, you've got every group. I mean, we thanking you already in advance as Red Nose Day for supporting us and giving us some donations. But last year when we did it, and I think your dad came along last year, and we, because it's a walk-in thing as well, and there was we were doing some like walk-ins and offering a little bit of coaching to people, and there was an old couple, they literally like, you know, just walking really slowly, and they came up and we took them over to one of the courts and just said, right, we'll just do a little bit of dinking, just a bit of softness, just see you going. And then after a little few minutes, this lady just went, whack, and suddenly all the competitive juices flowed through her, and she said, oh yeah, I used to play tennis years and years ago, but it was still there. And I said, what do you think? And she goes, yeah. And then they hobbled off. You think, well, yeah, we might have a go at this, you know what I mean? And it was like,
I mean, it's everyone. I mean, you know, like we now supply to prisons, schools,
oh, really?
Leisure centers. Like
in the UK, or are you Europeans?
We're UK at the moment. We recently have kind of started in Europe. So initially we're in Portugal and France. We have two fantastic contacts out there who've been helping us with those. But we are predominantly UK, and our main focus will always be the UK. But yeah, it's fascinating, some of the people who are coming into now. So yeah, prisons, as I said, are now big on pickleball.
That's a great idea, isn't it? Because again, I'm supposed to be rehabilitating people, aren't you, in prisons? I mean, what a way to get people to focus, maybe take their minds into a different space. And
they always have, well, maybe amusing is not the right word, but they're ordering, because they basically have to do one like bulk order for a year. So they buy, well, like a net, a few paddles. And then one of the prisons bought 1,000 balls. And I said to the guy,
nice, why? Franklin's?
Yeah, I can't remember what they were. Sorry. Actually. but yeah, the guy said, oh, well, it's because like every time they play, there's about 50 balls broken by someone just kind of stamping on them and stuff like that.
Well, out of anger.
anger, frustration, yes.
I hope you get them all back, because that's nice, because you do a recycling thing, don't you?
That's right, yeah. So
are you still doing that?
We're still doing that, yeah. So I think that kind of came about for, well, two reasons. I mean, one of the reasons is environmentally, pickleball, the industry as a whole, is really not great. You know, the majority of equipment is made in China. It all kind of comes in from China. A lot of the time as well, it's not just coming from China to the UK. It's going from China to the US, then back to the UK and that kind of thing. So we wanted to look at what we could do from an environmental point of view. Then obviously with the nature of pickleballs being plastic and often breaking, we kind of thought to ourselves, well, how can we...
More plastic
what
waste.
What can we use those for?
Yeah.
So we basically, well, alongside Pickleball England, started collecting the broken balls. And turning them into recycled paddles, which is designed for, well, predominantly for school children, for kind of complete beginners. Because, well, we also kind of saw a gap in the market for say school children or complete beginners, where wooden paddles are kind of a bit too heavy for a kid particularly, and they're often like two piece, so they break.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are lighter, sturdy, not going to snap, basically.
Made in the UK?
Made in the UK as well. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the paddles aren't perfect.
No.
They're not at all. I mean, they're $7.99 for a reason. But, you know, the way we see it is, but if
I'm sure little kids don't really care where they get chucked around as well, don't they?
Exactly. And the way we see it, you know, is if people playing pickleball with a recycled paddle is better than people not playing pickleball at all. So that's the way we see it. And obviously being able to use those recycled balls and obviously have a UK-made paddle is great as well.
And can the balls be recycled to be balls again?
Potentially. Yeah. I mean, so interestingly, when we kind of started this project, so we're using a company up in Derbyshire called Ryber, who, have you met Dan Hunter, Dan and Bruce? So he's
not yet.
He's a big player. And so I'm not sure, to be honest, I've never actually seen him play, but for his sake, I'll say he's a very good player.
I hope you watch it.
But yeah, so we had a bit of a hurdle when we didn't realise that a lot of the balls are made of slightly different plastic polymers.
Okay.
So what we then had to do was a very kind of tedious task of, you know, head 26, Franklin X 40.
Separating the balls.
Yeah, so colours is fine, because obviously that's just a colouring and you can kind of melt that down and recolour them, but there's slightly different plastic polymers, which was a little hurdle.
Once balls crushed, quite hard to identify them.
Yeah, I mean, in response to could you re-turn them into balls, I'd imagine you could.
Yeah.
I think you would have to buy the tooling equipment,
yeah,
which isn't cheap from my understanding. But if you bought that equipment, kind of melted the plastic down, put the, you know, had the right mold, put the colouring in, you probably could do it.
So I assume then you just melt all the plastic down and it goes into a mold for a paddle.
That's right,
And it's a solid plastic paddle then.
That's right, yeah.
And is it one size? I mean, that's a question actually, because obviously you want to get kids involved, but we all play with the same size paddles effectively.
Yeah.
Is there junior paddles, or is there a thought that there should be?
Interestingly, so the recycled paddles we have are a little bit smaller.
Right.
We are looking at a junior club paddle, which is basically a slightly smaller version of our club paddle, designed again for kind of younger players who are perhaps beyond the level of using, say, a recycled paddle.
Yeah.
But they do exist. I know Franklin have got one,
Franklin's got a mini paddle.
And they've got
Have you played with them?
The sweet spot trainers.
The little ones. Yeah, they're really good. They're sweet spot trainer. That's right.
I have played with them. They're brilliant. So we actually, we, along with Jared, at the Open, because we kind of almost, they hadn't been in the UK market, and we essentially launched them at the Open. So the idea that we had with Jared to kind of promote them was to have basically like two pros playing with the sweet spot trainers, and then two players could go and kind of play against them with normal paddles.
I think you had them at the pre-Open.
Might have been that. Sorry, we had them at the Nationals. It was the Nationals.
But also, I think it was pre-Open, because I met you on the Saturday.
Yeah.
And I borrowed one of your demos, and I said I'll bring it back, and then the next day you weren't there. I think Sam Basford was running the shop. I think that was at Hatfield, or
it was in
Abingdon. I think it was up there, some tournament there, and you had them there, and Martin Smith bought four of them off you for Fleet Aces, and we went out and had a little game, and it really does focus the mind even more,
because you're
trying to make sure you get it on the
back. You improve so quickly using those paddles. If you play, obviously you have to play against three other people using them, or else it doesn't really work, unless you really back yourself. in terms of, for kind of practicing, especially kind of soft game dinking they're brilliant.
Really good. Yeah.
They're really, really good. And when you actually hit them in the sweet spot, it comes off really nicely as well. So they're quite satisfying to use.
See, there's a market there again. Something obviously untapped. I mean, I see the opportunities with pickleball. Just, I don't know. They're infinite. I think there's so much.
Absolutely. I mean, look at Owl Pickleball now, who've got silent paddles. Did you see those at the Open?
I know Nia, who plays for us. She's got an Owl paddle.
Yeah. And I mean, they're amazing in two senses. Obviously, firstly, like, they are nearly completely silent, and also they play amazingly.
Yeah.
So before the Open, there was the Battle of the Brands.
That's right.
And I think Owl...
Which was a bit strange.
Yeah.
It didn't quite come off as it should have done, though.
No, it didn't, admittedly. But I think Owl got to the final.
Okay.
And just lost to Franklin. But I think the players that were using the Owl paddles had never used them before. And they would beat a lot of, like, you know, big brand
paddles. And there's a serious issue about this, because, isn't it? Because of the noise.